Okay, let's try that again. This time we'll do it a little bit better. Oh, great, now I have to cough. See, it never fails. Greetings, friends and enemies. Happy Friday, if you're the kind of person that Friday matters. As you're listening to this podcast, I started working yesterday, Thursday. Probably about 2 p.m. And when you're hearing this podcast, whenever it's scheduled, I will still be working. I'll probably be doing about a 30-hour day before I get sleep.
Just on the border of your waking mind, there lies another time where darkness and light are one. And as you tread the halls of sanity, you feel so glad to be unable to go beyond. I have a message from another time.
And that message from another time is that I am right, you are wrong, go fuck yourself. I know your feels. You came here, you said, here's this podcast on the internet by someone called The Great One, the Cynical Libertarian Society. I'm going to listen to this. I wonder if this is a safe space. I wonder if this is going to be an inclusive podcast where we're going to be welcoming to diversity and all different types of people from different backgrounds and political opinions, except, of course, for Nazis, because, you know, anyone who's right-wing is obviously evil. But other than that, we should totally have diversity and tolerance and multiculturalism. Yeah, except for Catholics and white people and Christians and Republicans and, well, you know, and heterosexual white men who have jobs. Great one. Are you going to get a little bit ranty today? There might be some yelling on today's episode. I'm just saying. Today's episode might be a little offensive. So, if you're here for safe space, you're in the wrong spot. Brewing up some spearmint tea right now so I can drink some hot tea and relax as I yell at the internet. Oh yeah, it's almost ready. Mm-hmm. Speaking of things that are almost ready, I'm almost ready to lose my shit. However, until then, my feels.
Things you do don't seem so real,
but I get triggered anyway.
Tell me what you got in mind, 'cause we're running out of time. Won't you ever set me free? This waiting around is killing me. She tried.
When she wears yoga pants to work.
Like no one else. She drives me crazy and I can't help myself.
I have to spank that ass.
I can't get any rest.
Yeah, I can't get no rest.
People say.
What do people say? What are they saying?
I'm obsessed.
I think they're saying I'm the best. Best.
Everything you say is lies. But to me, there's no surprise.
No surprise that women lie.
What
we knew this.
I had for you was true. Things go wrong, they always do.
They always
she
do. It's not my fault. I'm a victim.
No.
Oh, I like being alone.
She drives me crazy.
Because that's what women do.
Like no one else.
Nobody else can do it like girls.
She drives me crazy. And I can't help myself.
I got no control. I'm a victim. Yeah, a little Tom Jones off the Reload album. The Tom Jones songs I played for you guys on the podcast back on Monday, Sex Bomb. When I worked at Colorado State University, that was the official theme song of my department. And every month when we'd have our department meeting, we would kick the meeting off by playing Sex Bomb by Tom Jones. Now, can you imagine? On a college campus in the current year, 2018, in the year of our Lord and Savior, the Trump and Fuhrer, who has still not built a wall, nor put Hillary Clinton in jail, and is in fact turned into the Kuckenfuhrer. Could you imagine playing Sex Bomb by Tom Jones at a department meeting on a college campus in the current year? Oh my, how things have changed. How far they have gone downhill. And even back then, I thought it was bad back then. If any of you have been around since way back in the day when I worked at CSU, you've heard all the stories on this podcast. But even back then, even way back then, it had already begun. We had a guy in our department, so I had my department that I was in charge of. But then I was a member of the department above that. That was my parent department. Within the confines of my parent department, there was a man who would regularly sexually harass women. Like real-ish stuff. Like, for example, this, and I saw this with my own eyes. I was there when it happened. There's this chick at the front desk and she's checking in. And he comes by and he goes, "Whoa, that's a really nice ass. Love to have that on my face," or you know, something very much to that effect. Every time he would sexually harass a woman, now you would think, whoa, 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 he's sexually harassing women. This university is going to do something, right? Because women are precious and women get raped 17 times every second. Every 5 out of 1 women are raped every 17 seconds. And the university cares about women and all this other shit. And of course, every time he would sexually harass a woman, they would force everybody in the department, male and female, to go to sexual harassment training. And you'd say, well, great one. Why didn't they just say something to him? He's sexually harassing women. Why didn't they ever do anything to him? Well, because he filled 3 quota slots. He was old. He was past retirement age. He was handicapped. He had walked with a cane because he had a bad leg. And he was black. And therefore, he could sexually harass women all he fucking wanted. Whenever you hear someone talking, women, all right, whenever you hear women talking about how dangerous the world is and how they're oppressed and all this other shit, and they try to imply that this is all because of white men. Oddly enough, it seldom is. Seldom is. And when it is white men, and sometimes it is, I'm not saying it's not, but when it is white men, we always have to ask ourselves, these white men, were they raised by single mothers? Did these single mothers put these white men on medication for their personality? Did these white men go to public school where most of their teachers were women? We can't ask these questions, can we? Speaking of white women, speaking of liberal whining, speaking of oppression, I'll put the links to this in the show notes. I'm going to gloss over this. This is from news.com.au. Woman apologizes for accusing 9-year-old of sexual assault. Woman dubbed Corner Store Caroline has been shamed after wrongfully accusing a 9-year-old boy of groping her behind in a store. Now I'm going to read this to you, even though I just did. Quote, I was just sexually assaulted by a child, unquote, she claims to police on the phone. Here's what happened. The kid walked, and they got the closed circuit TV footage from the store, where you could see what happened. Oh, here we go. Later, the woman spoke about the whole ordeal to PIX 11, which I assume is a news channel. Quote, as far as I could tell from the way it felt on my butt, that's what happened. It's not the first time I've been grabbed on the ass by a kid. Really? Yeah, PIX 11 is a news station. I was standing at the counter and I was sexually assaulted, she said, in what could best be described as a surreal interview. Mr. King shared the CCTV footage. What you will clearly see is his bag of school uniforms lightly brushes up against her, unquote. And you see it in the video. The kid's walking by. He's got the backpack or something on his back, and it brushes up against her ass, and she freaks out and calls the police. Okay, the kid, the 9-year-old, is a little black boy. The woman is, of course, white. Permit Patty, white woman, calls police on girl selling water outside apartment building. A white woman caught on camera calling the police on an 8-year-old black girl for selling water. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. We always say how racist we are, right? White men are so racist. White men are racist. Here we have two classic examples. 9-year-old black boy accused of sexual harassment, of grabbing a woman's ass. An 8-year-old black girl selling water has the police called upon her. Tell me something. Is it young, heterosexual white men who have jobs and go to the gym that are doing these things? Or could it be pampered, wall-hitting, overweight white women? How much of this supposed racism against black people can truly be traced back to heterosexual white men who have jobs and go to the gym on a regular basis? And how much of it can be traced back? Oh, I got this thing I found somewhere. How much of it can be traced back to spoiled white women? Because this is an important distinction to make. It really is. And we want to pretend, once again, we, the royal we, society, the leftist, the media, they want to group people in ways that are convenient to them. You know, well, white people are racist. Okay, but let's look at individual examples, and let's look of these white people who are racist. How many of them are women? As compared to heterosexual white men with jobs who go to the gym on a regular basis. Somewhere. I'm saving it. Somewhere I have some article that was written about how feminism is really racist because feminism is about white women and it's racist and racist, 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 and everything is racist. And on one hand, I look at something like that and I roll my eyes. But on the other hand, you look at something like this. I mean, here we've got this fat woman I mean, how? Okay, my God, you walk outside and you see a little 8-year-old black girl selling water, selling bottled water. And your response is to call the police. Or you're in a store and you're at the counter and somebody walks behind you and feels something brush up against your butt and you turn around, you see a little 9-year-old black boy walking by. And even if you think this 9-year-old black kid touched your ass, you know, because because your ass is so amazing, because you're a white woman. Well, you're a white woman from North America. Every man on the planet Earth wants to rape you, right? I mean, you're so desirable. Every man alive wants to have sex with you so badly that they can't. I mean, right now, this woman, Corner Store Carolyn, I so desperately want to have sex with her right now that I can barely control myself. If she was here, I would throw myself into her ass. That's how amazingly hot this princess is. She's so sexually attractive, I can't control myself. And neither could this poor 9-year-old boy. I mean, he's just this, and he saw her and he's like, oh my God, that white woman from North America, I've got to have that. And he grabbed her ass. I mean, how broken do you women have to be to call the police on 8- and 9-year-old children? And remember, you're the ones, you both, I guarantee you, both of these women are probably liberals. They're probably feminist. I guarantee you, Corner Store Caroline is a goddamn feminist. Right? She probably has a Black Lives Matter t-shirt in her closet. You're a man, you have a job, you like girls, young girls, not wall hitters. You go to the gym 3 times a week or more, you walk out your front door and you see an 8-year-old girl selling bottled water. The first thing that comes into your mind is not calling the police. You're standing in a store, you're at the counter and you're paying for your cigarettes or whatever the fuck you're buying, and you feel something brush against your butt, and you turn around, you look behind you, and you see a 9-year-old black girl walking away, and you think, oh, that little 9-year-old black girl might have grabbed my ass. Does calling the police enter into your mind at, I don't know, any point in your entire fucking life? I mean, you know how many times in my life I've thought about calling the police? Once. And I didn't even do it. I had someone else do it because I was pointing a gun at somebody who was a criminal. I've told the story before. I don't have time to tell it again. Are you sure it's white men who are racist? Or could it be spoiled, pampered, wall-hitting white women from North America? Over here on Permit Patty, it says their anger, talking about Twitter users who are slamming the woman on Twitter, their anger intensified when the woman, Permit Patty, was revealed to be an entrepreneur named Allison Ettles, who sells cannabis-laced treats for animals suffering anxiety issues, allegedly without a permit. So once again, here's a woman, walks out of her house, walks out of her apartment, I think it's an apartment complex, sees an 8-year-old black girl selling bottled water, calls the police. What does this woman do for a living? She sells She sells dog treats with marijuana in them. Oh, great one. Why do you always make so much fun of dope smokers? Gee, I can't figure it out. No, dope smokers are just so fucking intelligent. She sells fucking dog treats with the dope. And yes, she's fat. You'll see the pictures. She is very fat. She is very unattractive. Anybody remember Judge K? I still don't know how to pronounce his name. Let me do this. I was on Amazon.com for some reason. No, not Amazon. I was searching in the Prospector. It's the public library website. And I came across a video recording called There Are Jews Here. And I want to read to you the description of this DVD, this movie. There Are Jews Here follows the untold stories of four once thriving American Jewish communities that are now barely holding on. Most American Jews live in large cities where they are free to define themselves in any way they wish. But almost invisible to most of the country are roughly 1 million Jews scattered across far-flung communities. For them, Jewish identity is a daily urgent challenge. If they don't personally uphold their communities and live affirmative Jewish lives, they and their legacies could fade away forever. There Are Jews Here is both a celebration of their tenacity and a cautionary tale, a warning that their histories, synagogues, cemeteries, and sacred possessions, i.e. Torahs, prayer books, memorial plaques, etc., could vanish without a trace. Ultimately, There Are Jews Here weaves these stories in a deep exploration of the age-old question of Jewish/religious identity, the value of Jewish community, and the relevance of faith and community in the 21st century. Sounds wonderful, doesn't it? Sounds very, very enlightened and tolerant and diverse. And now, let me illustrate to you how racist this is by doing our favorite thing. We're going to change your word. There Are Whites Here follows the untold story of four once thriving American white communities that are now barely holding on. Most American whites live in large cities where they are free to define themselves in any way they wish. But almost invisible to most of the country are roughly 1 million white people scattered across far-flung communities. For them, white identity is a daily urgent challenge. If they don't personally uphold their communities and live affirmative white lives, they and their legacies could fade away forever. There Are White People Here is both a celebration of their tenacity and a cautionary tale, a warning that their histories, churches, cemeteries, and sacred possessions, i.e. Bibles, prayer books, memorial plaques, etc., could vanish without a trace. Ultimately, There Are White People Here weaves these stories in a deep exploration of the age-old question of white/European identity, the value of white community, and the relevance of faith and community in the 21st century. Back to Judge K. When all the Judge K stuff was going on, there's the question of, so there's the whole thing of, okay, he's getting falsely accused and all this other stuff, and I wanted the guy to win because he's being falsely accused and everyone knows it. But then there's the other part of this. It's like, well, what kind of decisions has he made? What are his political, social, philosophical, economic beliefs? You know, is he going to be a douchebag? Just because Trump nominated him, And I was like, oh, Trump nominated him, dude. He's going to make America great, man. Yeah, he's cool. He's right wing. He's conservative and all. Yeah, just because Trump nominated him means nothing. Absolutely nothing. So I got on the interwebs and looked for some porn. I mean, looked for some Supergirl pictures. I mean, looked for information about Judge K's past decisions. I found a page here. This is from Lambda Legal. They're making the case for equality. And essentially, they are, let me hit about us. Founded in 1973, Lambda Legal is the oldest and largest national legal organization whose full mission is to achieve full recognition of civil rights for lesbians, gay men, bisexuals, transgender people, and everyone living with HIV through impact litigation, education, and public policy work. Because as you know, lesbians and homosexuals, they don't have the same rights the rest of us do, apparently. I'm not sure what they're lacking other than they're not getting as much government money as they want. But anyhow, so that's who these people are. So I'm like, okay, this is a good source. And there'll be a link to this page. There's some stuff in here about presidential power, which nobody had a problem with presidential power when Obama was president. There's some stuff about abortion. So, there is something. I mean, this is what they've got on him. Is he was part of a 3-judge panel that vacated a temporary restraining order allowing an immigrant teenage girl to get an abortion. I mean, really? That's what? I mean, this is what you come up with? Objection, review, lower. I mean, just coverage, pre-existing condition. It's just crap. That's not the good part. Here's the good part. We come down the page, and it says, if confirmed, Judge K is likely to be a decisive vote. Critical issues, including the fundamental rights of LGBTQ+, the plus stands for pedophile, KKK people, and everyone living with HIV. Once again, I wasn't aware that, fags and trannies were enslaved and having to pick cotton. I'm pretty sure a lot of you are getting government money and you only have jobs because of government quotas. I don't know how much more special privilege you need. Our guiding principle as we examine nominees to the Supreme Court is that our clients and all civil rights plaintiffs must have a level playing field when they appear before the court. There's no such thing as a level playing field. If the playing field is level, water will stand on it. It will turn into a marsh. Playing fields are sloped. If you actually played sports, instead of just used sports metaphors, you would know these things. But of course, none of you do physical activity because you're all old, ugly, and overweight. Does Judge K's judicial philosophy reflect a commitment to equality and fairness for all? God, I hope not. Because no one is equal, and there's no such thing as fairness. That is the central question for us. Now, I have not yet read this list. I've glanced at it, but there's going to be some new stuff in here. All right. Oh, my God. We are fighting attempts to undermine marriage equality by those who refuse to recognize our marriages as equal. Hold on, I thought marriage was a tool of the patriarchy. I'm so fucking confused. This is what I'm talking about. First, I have to hear about how marriage is a tool of the patriarchy and women are oppressed, but then the fucking fags and the trannies and the pedophiles want to get married. Oh, God. All right, I'm reading ahead. This is not the part we're going to read. other issues impacting LGBTQ, KKK+, the plus stands for pedophile, and HIV-affected communities the court may consider in the next several years are the constitutionality of attempts to prohibit the passage or enforcement of laws protecting LGBTQ, KKK+, the plus stands for pedophile, people against discrimination. But it's okay to discriminate against conservatives, right? It's okay to discriminate against Alex Jones. You can knock him off of your social media platforms, but if you remove a tranny from your social media platform, you're discriminating. Okay, the right of incarcerated transgender individuals to receive medically necessary transition-related health care. Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. That is fucking beautiful. You got to give me a moment here. Let's come back to that because that's beautiful. I could almost jack off to that sentence. That's how beautiful that is. Okay, the free speech rights of LGBTQ, KKK+, the plus stands for pedophile students. Yes, on college campuses, the fags and the trannies are being silenced. Yeah, they're really being oppressed on college campuses. All the things I read to you from the CSU Collegian about all the conferences where everybody comes out and celebrates the fags. Yeah, those fags are really being oppressed. Their freedom of speech is really being oppressed on college campuses. Okay. The right, let's go through this sentence, the right of incarcerated transgender individuals to receive medically necessary transition-related health care. Okay, the right, okay, there are no rights. Rights do not exist. There's no such thing as a right. You cannot define rights. You cannot show any evidence that rights exist. No, they're not there. This is imaginary. Well, great one. I took a philosophy class too. That's how I know rights don't exist, because nobody has given any remotely satisfactory answer to where rights come from and what they are. The right, now from here on, we're going to pretend rights exist. I'm going to grant you this. I'm doing this because I am magnanimous. I'm not articulate, but I am magnanimous. God damn it. Magnanimous. Whew. The right of incarcerated. So they are incarcerated. They are in prison. That means that they are in prison because they violated the rights of other people. They stole something, or they raped somebody, or they murdered somebody, or they burned a building down. They broke some democratically enacted law, right? Because democracy is wonderful. The government makes laws. You have to obey the laws of the government, because without the government, there'd be no roads. Everybody run down the street, kill each other, okay? So there's laws. These people are incarcerated because they broke the laws. They violated other people's rights. So the first thing we notice here is that what they're saying is that you can violate other people's rights, but you still have your rights. See, and that's not the way it works. This is why I always say that in Ancapadice, for example, rape will not be an issue. Because in Ancapadice, if you rape a woman, you will be killed. she or her husband or her boyfriend or her brother or her son or her father or her friends or just any random man, someone will shoot you and you will die. And all of you fucking statist faggot pieces of shit out there, you lose your shit. You can't do that. It's terrible. Blah, 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 blah. No, no, no. This is exactly how it works. When you rape the woman, you have violated her rights. You have violated her property rights. You have said, I own your body. I'm taking control of your body. I'm using your body. Your body belongs to me. You are violating her property rights to her body. You cannot then turn around and say unto her husband or boyfriend or her, well, you can't kill me because by killing me, you violate my property rights to my body. Because by violating another person's property rights to their body, you have given up the reciprocal notion that other people have to respect your property rights to your body. Okay, if I walk up and slap you in the face, I can't then say, oh, you can't slap me. So we have incarcerated people who have violated the rights of other human beings, but these fucking fags and fucking pedophiles over at Lambda are arguing that people who have violated other people's rights have rights. And they don't. When you violate other people's rights, you've given up your rights. At that moment, your rights cease to exist. If I shit on your kitchen table, I have given up the right to have you not shit on my kitchen table. You can now come and shit on my kitchen table. The right of incarcerated transgender individuals to receive, okay, if they're incarcerated, they don't have jobs. Therefore, everything they are receiving must be paid for by other people. Now, since nobody voluntarily pays for prisons, the money to pay for the prison and everything that happens in the prison, the food, the clothing, the electricity, the natural gas, the guards, the light bulbs, the water bill, the trash bill, the mop heads, the spoons, the medical care, all of that has to be paid for via taxation. And taxation, brace yourselves, you may not have ever heard this idea before, taxation is theft. Well, great one. It's democracy. It's not theft anymore. No, it's theft because you're taking it away from people without their consent. Remember consent? Remember consent that all of you wall-hitting feminists are in love with? Consent? Well, but great one, democracy. Okay, great. So if a majority of men, the majority of people, vote that it's okay for men to rape women, it'll be cool, right? Because democracy. The right, which doesn't exist, of incarcerated, of people who have violated the rights of others and thus given up their rights, transgender, mentally ill, individuals to receive, at taxpayer expense, via theft, medically necessary. If it is medically necessary, that means you will die if you don't receive it. If you do not die, it is not medically necessary. Transition-related health care. These pedophiles want me to pay for criminals to get sex change operations. Once again, I really have no idea what Judge K has ever done that I would approve of. Not a single fucking clue. But with enemies like this, you can't help but support the man. Okay. Lambda Legal, this is their little laundry list. A Supreme Court nominee should be able to. This is the criteria by which they are judging Supreme Court nominees. Rule fairly and impartially in cases involving LGBTQKKK plus, the plus stands for pedophile, and HIV affected litigants. No, a judge should be able to rule fairly and impartially in all cases. If someone said, well, yes, we should select our Supreme Court nominee as long as they can rule, based on can they rule fairly and impartially in cases involving heterosexual white men with jobs who go to the gym at least 3 times a week. See, that would be racist. But when you say some shit like this, oh, so enlightened. Enlightenment. Diversity. Supreme Court nominee should be able to comply with the legal precedent. How about the legal precedent of returning slaves to their owners? I like that legal precedent. I love when people pick and choose legal precedent. Comply with the legal precedent established in Obergefell versus Hodge that the right of same-sex couples to marry is a fundamental right. There are no rights under the Due Process and Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment, and that same-sex couples shall not be deprived of that right. There are no rights, nor is marriage mentioned anywhere in the Constitution, nor should it be. Also, I love how we invoke the 14th Amendment, but we'll just totally ignore the 10th Amendment and the 2nd Amendment. Right, once again, this cherry picking of the amendments. I love that shit too. First Amendment, the freedom of the press. Now, freedom of religion, fuck that. Right, and 2nd Amendment, we can talk about that. You know, and 10th Amendment, oh, God forbid we ever fucking talk about the 10th Amendment. But 14th Amendment, oh, we can just swallow the cum of the 14th Amendment, which we've never actually read all day long. Adhere to the legal precedent recognized in Obergefell versus Hodges that the fundamental liberties protected by the 14th Amendment Due Process Clause extend to personal choices central to individual dignity and autonomy. Oh, individual dignity and autonomy, including intimate choices defining personal identity and beliefs. Oh, individual dignity and autonomy, including intimate choices defining personal identity and beliefs. So, for example, I believe that trannies are mentally ill. I shouldn't have to associate with them or pay for their sex change operations? No. See, what we mean here is by personal choices central to individual dignity and autonomy, what that means is transferring money from heterosexual white men to trannies. That's what that means. Follow legal precedent established in Obergefell versus Hodges, which is apparently the only court ruling these people know anything about, that the tradition or history of excluding certain people from exercising a particular right cannot serve as a continued justification for denying that right to a class of people. I don't know what a right is because they don't exist. But one popular notion of rights is that they are inalienable and can't be taken away from you. So if your right can't be taken away from you, then how exactly do you exclude someone from exercising it? But once again, when they say something like exercising a particular right, what they mean is me financing this through my taxes. Once again, I personally am not stopping trannies and fags from doing anything. Right? You want to get a sex change operation, you want to suck a dick, you want to whine about Donald Trump, you can do any of those things. The problem here is that they want those things to be funded by me and you and our tax money, which is taken away from us under the threat of violence, because taxation is theft, which violates our property rights. But they don't care. Now, as for the tradition of history of excluding people from rights, serving as justification for continuing to deny that right, that's interesting because a big part of the argument of why white men and white people in general have to suffer is because of our history of oppression. Is it not? Is this not what we are constantly told, that white people throughout history have oppressed everyone else? Now we must atone for this. So apparently, tradition and history does make a difference in some cases. And yet, these are two different things. They're saying that because black people were slaves in the past, that doesn't mean they should be slaves in the future. But these are the same people who argue that because America allowed immigration in the past, they should allow immigration in the future. And because white people were racist in the past, white people should be discriminated against in the future. So either the past informs present and future actions, or it doesn't. By legal prep, blah, blah, blah. There's a law for the... What? Comply, blah, blah, blah. Oh, God. Comply with legal precedent established in Lawrence v. Texas that the right to liberty under the Due Process Clause gives individuals the right to engage in private, adult, consensual, non-commercial sex, without interference by the government. And this right belongs as much to LGBTQKKK+, the plus stands for pedophile people, as it does to heterosexuals. Yes, because once again, the government SWAT teams are kicking in the doors and arresting men for sucking each other's dicks. Where in the Constitution is the government given any jurisdiction over people having sex? All of these problems stem from the fact that everyone, right wing and left wing alike, everyone who is a statist always wants more government. Non-commercial sex, because that exists. Because there are all these men out there who are totally getting sex for free without having to spend any. There's no such thing as non-commercial sex. Nice try. Adherence to legal precedent established in Lawrence v. Texas that under the U.S. Constitution, religious and moral disapproval cannot be the basis for the enactment and enforcement of criminal laws. Okay, first of all, I'd love to see that go up against Judaism and Islam. Secondly, moral disapproval cannot be the basis for the enactment and enforcement of criminal laws. Moral disapproval cannot be the basis for the enactment and enforcement of criminal laws. Pray tell, on what basis do you make rape and murder illegal? Don't tell me a person's property rights to their own body. Because if you're a statist, you've thrown that out. You think other people's bodies belong to you. It's called taxation. Don't even fucking tell. So, no moral moral disapproval cannot be the basis for criminal laws. Pray tell, why exactly is rape and murder illegal? Now, I would throw in pedophilia, but these people are in favor of pedophilia. Follow the legal precedent established in Romer v. Evans that when a law can be explained only by anti-gay bias, it violates the Equal Protection Law. Okay, so then if a law can only be explained by pro-gay bias, does that mean it also violates the Equal Protection Clause? Oh, we finally, I can't believe it took this long. Adhere to legal precedent established in Roe v. Wade that the constitutional right to privacy, there is no constitutional right to privacy, it's not in there, is broad enough to encompass a woman's decision whether or not to terminate her pregnancy. Everything is about shoving that fucking vacuum cleaner hose up your cooch and sucking out that baby, isn't it? That's the whole fucking basis of your existence. Not that I don't want you to get an abortion. By God, I want more of you to get abortions. But that's your whole fucking life, isn't it? Abortion. You have no reason to live without abortion. Treating employees differently in the workplace where they conform to sexual stereotypes is a form of sex discrimination. Oh my God. And it goes on. There's more. There's more. Just, if you want to suffer, go read it. And then read the 14th Amendment. Find out what's actually in it. Yeah, you thought that I was gone. I'm not. No. Let's delve a little deeper, because I want to go into this. I used to be all about the Constitution, and then I got over it. I grew up. Amendment 14, Section 1. All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States. Nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. Now see, the stupid people who think that words written on paper mean things, we'll see all this stuff about the state can't deprive people and equal protection and shit like that. Those of us who are not stupid and understand how the state works, we see five words that make the difference. Without due process of law. And what is the law? Well, the law is whatever the politicians make up and however the judges interpret it. Once again, for the stupid people, and we're about to get really offensive for you Yankees out there who think that you came down and you fought the Civil War to free the slaves, you better get ready to get butt hurt. Okay? That's not why you fought the Civil War. Due process of law. Slavery was legal. You know those Japanese that Democrat politicians put in those internment camps? Legal. Tuskegee experiment? Legal. Forced sterilization of retarded people and black people, which God knows we should have continued? Legal. Bringing Nazi scientists over to the United States to do work for... Legal! Putting Indians on reservations? Legal! Shooting American Indians? Legal! That was all due process of law. This fucking magic... No! Due process of... Obama! Indefinite internment. Legal! Blowing up Muslims who you claim to be so fucking in love with because you're so tolerant and diverse and enlightened. Blowing up Muslims at weddings with missiles launched from flying robots. Legal! All of those things have gone through due process of law. See, this is that phrase where it's like when you get a job and you have a job description and in there they add, and other duties as required. That's the catchphrase where they can hire you to be whatever and a financial analyst and then make you a janitor. Other duties as required. Oh, we really need you to clean the toilet. Well, that's not my job. Actually, it is. It says right here, other duties as required. You see, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property. Well, that sounds great. The state can't deprive a person of their life, their liberty, or their property. Oh, wait. Without due process of law. So you see, the state can deprive you of your life, your liberty, or your property. They just need due process of law. And who controls the law? Well, the state does. It's a bunch of stuff here. There's some glorious things about only men voting, which is fantastic. No person shall be a senator or a representative in Congress or elector of president and vice president or hold any office, civil or military, under the United States or under any state who, having previously taken an oath as a member of Congress or as an officer of the United States or as a member of any other state legislator or as an executive or judicial office state to support the Constitution, blah, 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 shall have engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the same or given aid and comfort to the enemies thereof. What that means is anybody who served the Confederacy, you know, that separate sovereign nation that your country invaded and called a civil war, even though it was not a civil war. It was a war between two different nation states, you know, the Confederacy, that occupied territory of the United States, where, according to you fucking filthy ass Yankees, who can't shut up about how you freed the slaves, yet I notice there's a lot of black people on welfare, and up there in fucking Detroit, you're poisoning their water supply. Remember when we tried to leave, and you came and killed us, and made us come back? But gosh, we're also racist, and it's poor, and everybody down there smells bad, and you really do hate the South. You hate the South so much, yet, gosh, you sure were willing to kill a lot of people to keep us from leaving. It's like, yeah, my fat, stinky mother-in-law is here, and she was going to leave the house, but I started killing people until she decided to stay. The point of that section of Article 14, excuse me, Amendment 14, is to prevent anybody who had positions of power, authority in the Confederacy from having positions of power and authority in the United States. In other words, it was to strip Southerners of the ability to represent themselves in your precious fucking democracy that you can't shut up about.